You're listening to the Family Matters Podcast, brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Join Derek A. Straker and Patrick Webb weekly for faith-fueled conversations about pressing issues, current events, and politics in the Big Sky State. When it comes to faith and freedom, family really matters. Welcome back to the Family Matters Podcast. Derek A. Straker here in studio with Patrick Webb. This is episode 14, Patrick.
Yep. We just found out last episode was 13. I think we're actually supposed to skip that, like the hotels do. They actually just skip the floor, even though it still technically exists. I mean, it's number 13, whether you want it to be or not.
Isn't that interesting? I traveled in China during college, and their corresponding number to our 13 is the number 4. So there are hotels over there that skip the fourth floor, go right from the third to the fifth. Interesting, those superstitions around the world. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. It's nice out. I think we're supposed to get some yucky weather this weekend, but it's been nice having a little bit more sun. I took care of our backyard a little bit and cleaned up the front of the yard a little bit. So it's just nice to kind of get the muck out. And it's kind of spring cleaning season, you know?
It is. And I tell you, today is really nice.
Yeah.
It's been beautiful. I understand it's going to be yucky weather, but that's Montana. We get a little bit of that, and then we get some awesome stuff too. So boy, it has been a week already. We're just sitting here midweek Wednesday, and so much has happened here in Montana. Just to give our listeners a brief update, the constitutional amendment that's been proposed by Planned Parenthood to put abortion in our constitution, the ballot statement was rewritten by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, in a footnote in their order, alluded to the fact that maybe this doesn't need to visit the legislature, and they can just go start gathering signatures already. So that's sparked some controversy, I would say, between the legislature and the Supreme Court, and we're just kind of sitting and waiting to see what happens next. Crazy times, though, Patrick.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's a continuation of this feud that's been going on between the legislature and the courts for a couple of years now, I think.
That's right.
At least a couple now. And it's just really this battle between, you know, the legislature is supposed to be a separate co-equal branch of government in Montana, and the Supreme Court does not treat them that way. And the legislature believes that the court is not acting within its own, you know, system of checks and balances, and the court believes, you know, vice versa. And so this is kind of getting pulled into that battle in some ways. But I like to have a legislature that is fighting for their own power. As representatives of the people, you know, they are, I think, in many ways the most direct representation of the Montana people that we have in our government in Montana, except from, you know, maybe the governor, but even more so because they are representatives of smaller groups instead of a big mass. So it's good that they're fighting for their authority. They need to be doing that. I think we all wish that our Congress was doing that.
That's right. Yeah, they're by design, the legislature, whether it's the federal legislature or the state legislature, is the closest elected official in that tripart government. So it's very interesting to have interbranch disputes. You have these co-equal branches, and you know, historically, at least for the past few years, the Montana Supreme Court has kind of taken the legislature and just brushed them to the side and said, no, we're the supreme authority here. We have judicial authority, and the buck stops here. And the legislature has been bucking that because they're supposed to be equal.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how it plays out. Meanwhile, as far as I'm aware, zero signatures have been gathered for this abortion amendment. And that's right where we like to see it. Mm-hmm. From our perspective, they need to gather over 60,000 signatures by June 21st. And the longer this plays out, the less likely it is that they'll get it on the ballot. And I think that's a good thing for the state of Montana and for all the unborn babies out there that are depending on it.
Yeah, and I think for them, they're probably very nervous about all the students leaving campus, because I think that's where they're going to get a chunk of their signatures, is just going up to the universities. And when they leave, it's going to be harder for them to gather people.
Well, and just one more point here on this constitutional amendment. They want to reach those student populations because they're lying about the scope and the reach of this amendment. Folks, if you hear somebody come up to you and they say this is just to put abortion in our Constitution, they're lying. That's not all this does. The fact of the matter is, it's a complete expansion of abortion procedures in Montana, such that it would allow for partial birth abortion. That's radical. It's not supported by the majority of people in Montana or anywhere. Mm-hmm. But that's what it would allow. And because of their use of terms like reproductive care, it's even more expansive than just abortion. If you talk about reproductive care, this could touch on genital mutilation surgery to transition children. And that can be in our Constitution, because that, having a surgery on your reproductive system is a form of reproductive care. So This is not just about abortion. And you need to be wary. You need to be discerning. So with that, I mean, that kind of leads into what we really wanted to talk about today.
Well, and let me just say really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone who wants more information, you did a really great interview on Voices of Montana.
Oh, thank you.
And that can be found on, I think it's Voices of Montana. They have a podcast is what they call it. And they kind of clip interviews, I believe, and put it in there. And you can find it in an archive of Voices of Montana at the bottom of their page for yesterday, Tuesday, April 2nd. So if folks have a chance, check out the Voices of Montana interview with Derek A. Stryker. I think there's even an article up, and we'll have it posted on our Facebook page. It gives good, great background of this and what's going on.
Well, I appreciate that. We can even put a link to that in the podcast description for this episode, and we'll have it up on our website, montanafamily.org, so you can find more information there. I appreciate that, Patrick.
Absolutely.
I'll do my best. In any event, we want to talk about Christian involvement in political discourse.
Yeah.
Why, we've covered kind of why Christians should be involved, in this culture war. But we haven't necessarily given all the how-tos, the steps. And so we want to talk through some of these things with our listeners. And, the reality is, you and I are both going to be lobbying the legislature this next session on important policies that touch on areas of life and family, religious liberty, school choice. We're going to be gearing up for that. And that's our job. It doesn't start in January. It actually starts now. We're thinking about policy directives and things that we're going to do this next session. Now, for the average Christian citizen out there, they're probably not thinking too much about the next legislative session. But when the time comes for your next school board meeting, your next library board meeting, the next legislative session, are you going to be prepared to step up if you need to, if you're called to? And that's kind of what we want to talk about, how to do that, where to start, what's our foundation, and just give our listeners the tips and the tricks to what we do.
Yeah, and I think as a Christian, it begins with our own spiritual foundation. So it begins before you even look out to where you're supposed to be involved. If you are not, taking care of your own faith and relationship with God, then you're missing out on the most key foundation, because Christ is our rock for a reason.
Amen.
And so we got to begin there. And I think that begins in the Word, you know, making sure that you're actually getting into the Word. People oftentimes that aren't in their Bible right now, they have a hard time understanding, why is it so important that I'm looking at this thing and reading it? I have a hard enough time just understanding it when I read it, right? And the reason is because it is living. It is a living word, is what we say. And what that means is that God uses the Word to actually communicate things to Christians. We are His, we are Christ's disciples here on earth. We are ambassadors to God and to heaven in some ways here on earth. And in order for us to kind of get direction and understand what we're supposed to be doing, one way and a key way that Christians kind of get that directive is by reading Scripture. God will reveal things to you when you're reading, when you pray about what you're reading, and you kind of meditate on what you've been reading. He will reveal things to you. Maybe not all every time, but oftentimes, I find.
That's spot on, Patrick. That's our first trip, first tip for listeners who want to get involved. You start with your relationship with God. Seek wisdom from Scripture. That's point number one. You know, that's the foundation. You're not going to build a solid structure any other way. That's got to be your foundation. So seek wisdom from Scripture.
Yep.
Number two, and you've already alluded to this, this is pray for your leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As Christians, we're called to do that. Pray for our country. Pray for our state. Pray for our leaders. Pray for your local school board. Pray for these people. You know, the Bible says, you know, kill them with kindness, heap hot coals on their head with kindness. Even the folks that you disagree with, you're supposed to be praying for. Love your enemies. Because, you know, God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to be like that. So we need to be praying, even if we don't agree with everything that Joe Biden is doing, or his cabinet, or his administration. Boy, that's a challenge for me, but I'm called to be praying for this country and our leaders.
Yeah, amen. It needs to be done with love in our hearts and with His will in mind. If we start praying and saying, you know, things like, you know, please make Joe Biden a Republican Lord, that may not be a godly prayer. I mean, for him to maybe have a realization that, you know, life is important. You know, that's what matters. You know, that is what matters.
Right.
Try to think about what His will is, what God cares about. And, you know, it's bigger than parties oftentimes.
Right.
So.
Well, look, and there's examples in history, in the Bible, where God can change hearts. Hmm. God can harden hearts.
Oh, yeah.
But God can change hearts too. You know, hardening hearts, you think of Pharaoh in Egypt. But changing hearts and minds, you think maybe of the king of Nineveh when Jonah went on his mission to Nineveh. You know, he had some troubles along the way and ran into a big fish. But, you know, God changed hearts and minds for His glory. And so if He can do it in Nineveh, He can do it here in Helena.
Yeah.
He can do it anywhere. That's the God we serve.
Yeah.
So tip number one, seek wisdom from Scripture. Tip number two, pray for your leaders. We're building a solid foundation of engagement here. And yeah, let's...
Well, and if you can't get past number two, if you find it very difficult to pray for your leaders that you don't agree with, or you viscerally disagree with, or in my case, I mean, I'm waiting for God to bring justice to the wicked. And sometimes it feels like our leaders are some of those wicked people that I'm waiting for justice to be rained down on. But again, you got to get to that place where you really do have love in your heart and you're coming from that place where God wants you to be. Maybe the prayer is not for them. Maybe the prayer in that moment is, God, please make my heart more like your son, Jesus, that has love for others. Please help me to love others like you would have me. That's an okay place to be.
Yeah. No, that's good. Cause you're in communion with God. You're praying, you're engaging in that relationship with the Almighty. Number three tip, and this is really important, especially in our country, in our state, be informed and be discerning. You know, I always like this verse, you know, that says that we're supposed to be as shrewd as serpents, because I think that's talking about lawyers. So, but we're called to be discerning.
Yeah.
We're called to be informed and have wisdom in the decisions we make. And especially with our form of government, where we get to make our voice heard through our vote. Don't just give that away for free. Don't vote on something that you haven't studied, that you haven't gotten to know the issue. You know, do your homework ahead of time before you get that ballot, whether it's, you know, you're heading to your polling place on election day, or whether you're getting that absentee ballot. Do your homework.
Yeah.
Be informed. You know, get up to speed on ballot issues, if they're going to be on the ballot. Get up to speed on candidates before the primary election. That's your duty. Be informed so that you're voting for issues that align with your morals and your beliefs. You're voting for candidates that align with your morals and beliefs.
Yeah. And being informed used to, for a lot of people, be, you know, just open up the newspaper every morning, or just at least watch the news a couple times a week. But anymore, there's so much propaganda. I'm not even going to use the terms of, you know, misinformation, malinformation, all these crazy terms that they've cooked up. But it's propaganda. It is false information, or fake or misleading information, that is used to elicit a response from people. And this is put out by our own government. This is put out by, you know, the news companies that we used to all watch all the time. I think, you know, former President Trump did a really great service for the American people by really making us question the media. That was actually a really good thing, I think. And so it's not so much just, you know, turn on Fox or CNN or whatever and just check out, but, you know, think for yourself, question everything, look up stuff yourself, find, you know, you can't do it for everything, but if there's something that you really care about, do your best to be informed about it. And then talk to those around you that you trust, and, you know, see what their thoughts are as well.
That's absolutely right. Be informed, be discerning. Step number three. Tip number three. Tip number four, because these aren't really steps, Patrick, and you don't have to necessarily do them in any particular order. Although I would say that you should start with a foundation in scripture and prayer.
Yeah.
So I think those two are important to start with. The rest aren't necessarily in any particular order. But number four, I would encourage our listeners, engage in civil discourse. Mm-hmm. There's so much around us in our society, in our culture, that says, don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. It's not polite. Don't bring those topics up. I vehemently disagree with that.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be talking about this stuff. We're supposed to be engaging in civil discourse, and we can do it in a polite and loving and truthful and honest way. You can tell people your opinions about the sanctity of life. Mm-hmm. And if they disagree, that's okay. But that's an opportunity for you to share, as a Christian, what informs your stance on the issue of life.
Yeah.
Is it your faith in God? Is it your faith in the Almighty God who designed you, who knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb? Is that your opportunity there that you're missing if you don't engage in that civil discourse? Because, folks, it's not all about politics. It's not about Republicans and Democrats and libertarians and issues. At the end of the day, it's about souls. And so, you know, yes, we care very deeply about policy issues, but at the end of the day, this is about changing hearts and minds through the transformative power of the gospel.
Yeah, and just a couple tips. I think it's important for people to have a lot of patience. This is a struggle for me, you know, just getting into conversations in my family or with friends. I'm very passionate about what I believe. And when I say those things, then someone doesn't even have to say you know, anything necessarily. And I already start to put myself in the defensive to protect my opinions and my positions. So have patience and don't start from a place of defense. Start from a place of, you know, love and sharing. And that's where you got to be. And, you know, this goes across when you're talking to Paul, like elected officials, someone can sense if you already start communicating to them in a way where you think they're going to disagree with you. Be very positive and confident in where you're going. And remember oftentimes that the knowledge that you have has been built upon. And so if you're communicating to somebody about a topic, try to talk about that topic, especially if you don't know where that person is, from a very foundational level of understanding, because you have maybe spent decades, you know, learning about a topic. And if you all of a sudden come to somebody and you tell them about the most recent thing that's going on with that, and they don't even understand some of the base language that helps them to understand that topic, you're going to just go right over their heads. So that's, again, another place where we have to have patience with people, understand that they may not have the same level of knowledge that you have. And sometimes you need to kind of start at the beginning in some ways.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. And engaging in civil discourse and in political discourse, you know, it can also mean getting involved at, you know, school board meetings, mm-hmm. During the legislative session, whether you're testifying in person in the halls of the Capitol or engaging remotely. But if you feel called, you can do that. You can share from your Judeo-Christian perspective these honest truths about, you know, the stance that you have on any given issue. And look, you know, we have programs at the Montana Family Foundation that can help you. You know, Patrick, you're leading the Family Leaders Program with our organization, and people are hungry for this. If you're listening and you're wondering how to connect with a group that is, you know, regularly engaging in political discourse and civil discourse, contact Patrick. You know, check out our website, montanafamily.org. We'd love to show you how to get more engaged.
Yep.
And to do so in love.
And have other folks next to you, because it's easier to stand if there's others behind you and next to you.
That's right. That's right. So that's tip number four. Tip number five, it kind of goes hand in hand with be informed and discerning. That was our third tip. Tip number five, hold elected officials accountable. Hold them accountable. Look, if you voted for somebody because they campaigned and said that their morals and their beliefs and their values were, you know, exactly or very similar to yours, and they're voting or making decisions that are completely inconsistent with your morals and values, let them know. Mm-hmm. Let them know. Don't just wait for the ballot box. You can let them know now. Yeah. There are ways to get a hold of our elected officials. Give them a call. Shoot them an email.
Yeah.
Let them know that they let you down, that they went against their principles. They went against their morals and beliefs. Mm-hmm. Let them know. And sometimes they're going to have an explanation for you. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll make sense and maybe it won't, but be engaged.
Yeah.
Be engaged.
And as an aside, it's usually never as simple as we think it is from the beginning for an elected official. Oftentimes, you know, speaking in terms of like a legislator, they think that they're going to carry some bills and then they're just going to be able to vote up or down on everything. And that's all it's going to be. And then there'll be debate and they'll get to, you know, carry their stuff. But oftentimes what it is warring factions that you're not even aware of, sub-factions in the parties, sub-factions, the governor's office, you know, the just the different governmental agencies, you know, they all create kind of different factions around different bills. And oftentimes you might think, you know, and this is not an excuse by any means, but just to explain, you know, what sometimes happens. You see that your elected official said that they support one thing and they go in and they don't support that thing.
Right.
It may not be that they don't support that thing. It may be that they're not supporting that bill because maybe there's a trade-off that they're considering. Maybe a committee chair is going to kill their bill if they don't vote a certain way. Yeah. Or maybe they're going to, you know, face opposition of the governor's office or a different agency or something like that, and they don't think that that political trade-off is worth it. There are games upon games upon games, and elected officials should be comfortable explaining those things to the people. Yeah. But sometimes that's kind of some of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's exactly why you should engage.
Yep.
Engage with them. Hold them accountable. Let them know you're paying attention.
Yeah.
And ask for an explanation. If they can explain it to you, hey, you know, here's why I voted this down, or here's why I voted for this. You know, maybe that explanation will be satisfactory to you, or maybe it won't.
Yeah.
But either way, you need to engage. Hold them accountable. Let them know you're watching. You're paying attention.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
And that's not a personal attack on that person. It's always about the ideas. We are about the battle place of ideas, you know, and we hope that we can convince people to agree with us on our positions. And, you know, we should all also be open to listening to their point of view and seeing if we agree that that's in line with our principles as well.
Right.
But it's never a personal accountability. Technically, I mean, it may come down to an election at some point, and we may find someone else who can carry those ideas better.
Right.
But again, it's not personal against that person. It's just that at the end of the day, votes and policies have repercussions in the public's life. And we are going to be, you know, unrelenting in making sure that we have the right people who are carrying the right ideas in office.
Right. Right. And it's not just legislators or school board members. You know, other elected officials in this state include our judges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay attention to what's happening in the Supreme Court. Just in the past month, they've been on a roll, Patrick, with policies that, or excuse me, not policies, but decisions that have struck down policies that were advanced in the legislature and passed, you know, handily. And they're all struck down.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that has sparked some angst from the legislature, but why? As citizens, you know, dig into that. Why? Why? You know, and I think you can boil it down, frankly, to the fact that the legislature views the Supreme Court's recent decisions as trying to strip the legislature of power and you know, violating principles of separation of powers. You know, but I digress. Get informed,
mm-hmm.
be discerning, and hold elected officials accountable. The next one, step number six.
Oh, I would be remiss to not point out that we have a great resource available for people that want to hold elected officials accountable.
Yes.
We are looking to, you know, create some other resources for kind of more local elected officials. But for your state legislators, that's your, you know, state senators or state representatives, please go to our website, montanafamily.org, and check out our scorecard. You're going to look for the 2023 Montana Family Foundation Legislative Scorecard. And that has a rating scale of your elected officials, so you can see the issues that we think were the greatest priority for our legislators to vote based off of, you know, the values that we have and that we, you know, advocate for. And you can see a rating. So if your person has a, you know, 93, 100%, those are usually pretty solid advocates. If you start seeing people that are down in their 30s and 40s, you know, that those people are maybe not representing your values as well as they could be.
That's a great point. You know, folks, we have a ton of resources on our website. I encourage you, you know, that's a good place to start. If you're not sure where to look to get informed, visit our website. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Patrick. Well, let's keep going down the list. Step six, tip six. This is advocate for principles and policies that are aligned to biblical truth. Okay. It's not just about, you know, being compassionate, you know, advocating for justice or no, really, if you start with that foundation of I'm in the scripture to know what the Lord is saying about a particular issue. And I'm praying, I'm engaging with the Creator through prayer. Then when you point that outward and you start advocating for things, you're advocating for policies and principles that are, that have a biblical truth. And that's, I don't know that I can make it any more simple. You got to start with that foundation.
I mean, and just the most simple example is policies that protect and advocate for life, for people to be able to continue to live.
Right.
Very simple. We have a God that loves us deeply, and he wants us to live. He wants us to enjoy his creation. He wants us to share his love with other living believers.
Yeah.
And if there are policies in there that people are advocating for that promote the killing of the preborn, that is not in line. That is absolutely not in line with God's vision for humanity.
Right.
When we talk about, you know, I mean, there are policies that even the Montana Family Foundation does not necessarily engage in that I think can, you know, be seen as having biblical principles. You know, things that create suffering and different things like that, that just oppress and enslave God's people in different ways. And God's people is everybody, folks.
Yeah.
These are not policies that are good.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. So let's keep going down the list. Tip 7. This one's really important, and we've kind of touched on this already. But yeah. Exercise your right to vote.
Yeah.
You know, I've run into a few people over the years that, you know, they've gotten fed up with, you know, partisan politics, the two-party system, what have you. They don't feel like their vote matters.
Or maybe doesn't count.
Maybe doesn't count. Yeah, there's a lot of distrust about mm-hmm. you know, our election system in general. Election integrity efforts around the nation have been on the rise
yeah.
because people just have a lot of distrust for it.
Right.
But let me encourage you. Exercise your right to vote. You've got to participate. You've got to exercise your right to vote in this system.
Yeah. If individuals, just everyone does what they are able to do, then we can make a difference. And so you have to trust that there are people within these institutions that have good intentions that are trying to make sure that they're operating efficiently. Anytime you see your neighbors or friends who are talking about being election judges or poll watchers, these are people who have good intentions in mind. They are going to go and try to protect the, you know,
the franchise.
Integrity of that institution.
Right.
And so those people are doing what they can. Maybe that's something you can do. If your time allocates you just the ability to go vote, and that's all that you can make time for, go do it. That is the thing that you can control for.
That's right.
You have to have trust in your friends and goodness and righteousness that people will continue to fight for what's right. There will absolutely be lawyers, I'm sure, on the back end who are doing everything that they can to make sure that votes are being counted in a way that has integrity. And we have to trust that they're going to do what they can do. And we have to have trust in our fellow man a little bit and in our movement of people that are advocating for truth and liberty. So if all you can do is go vote, that's a big one. We need you to go vote. Do what you can, and other people will do everything that they can to make sure that your votes matter.
Yeah. Count. And don't lose. Let me give you some encouragement, Patrick, because when I first moved to Helena, it was to take the job at the Secretary of State's office as the election director for the state of Montana. And so I became very, very intimately familiar with our election laws, with our election system, with our voting equipment. And look, I'm not going to say that there aren't anomalies that happen in elections, especially in other states. And the reason I say especially in other states is because Montana's system has one vendor. It wasn't the Dominion voting vendor. It wasn't any of the, you know, any of the other vendors that we saw in places like Philadelphia or in Phoenix, Arizona, or other places where there were allegations of voter fraud and voting equipment failures. Mm-hmm. We have one vendor. We have a written paper ballot. That's the key, is that every vote can be traced back to a paper ballot. Every vote can be.
Yeah.
And that's very key in our system.
Yeah.
The other thing that's key in our system, and you've talked about this as well, is poll watchers. These are typically volunteers who are just there to watch and make sure nothing weird happens. And election judges. So I would encourage you, if you are starting to feel anxious or have, you know, some heartburn over our election system here in Montana, this goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about. Get involved. Mm-hmm. But get involved in an informed way. And apply to be an election judge, you know, get involved and learn the process and actually be a part of the process so that you can see for yourself, does this system have integrity? And from my perspective in the state of Montana, I can't speak to other states, Patrick, but here in the state of Montana, I believe our system has integrity. So don't lose hope in the system, and participate in it, mm-hmm. Vote. And if you're discouraged, go be an election judge. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Moving on down the line, tip number 8, you know, when necessary, participate in peaceful protest.
Right.
You know, I think the most recent example for this would be COVID. You know, we had churches and some pastors out there that just shut down their congregations and their gatherings. Because the government told them that church wasn't necessary.
Right.
It wasn't an essential service. I think that was a tragedy.
Yeah.
And those pastors that resisted, peacefully resisted, protested by continuing to gather with their flock. I mean, that's the sort of Christian peaceful protest that says, no, we're not going to bow down to that idol. We're going to worship God. You can throw me in the lion's den. You can throw me in the fiery furnace, but we're going to serve God. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of courage I think Christians are called to have towards that eye of peaceful protest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that risk that comes in that is a decision that every individual needs to make for themselves or their own families, where their red line is. And I think that we should have respect for people if their red line is maybe not where ours is, because they live a different life than we do. And we should, you know, do our best to be understanding and treat them with love and compassion where they're at.
Right.
And then, you know, the other side of the protest is kind of where I was thinking was like, just look for opportunities to join other voices in expressing dissent. And so there's rallies. There's a lot of rallies that are happening. There is a Don't Mess With Our Kids rally that's happening up at the Capitol soon. A good place to find these things that are going on is Facebook. Look for your kind of local, especially like local family leader, or I shouldn't say family leaders, but conservative groups in your area, you know, that are engaging in different opportunities. There might be something that kind of sparks your interest, and go and join, meet some other people, see what's going on, and
that's right.
Do it peacefully.
That's right. We're creatures that need relationship. We're designed in God's image, and He wants a relationship with us. And so it's only natural that we need relationships in our lives, and you know, finding like-minded Christian believers who are getting engaged, who are waking up to what's going on in our state, in our nation. That's a good group of people right there to get involved with. And, you know, speaking of relationships, that brings us to tip number 9 for our listeners. Tip number 9 is build relationships with elected officials.
Yeah.
They just because you get elected to a position doesn't mean you're untouchable and you can't communicate with these people. You know, our government is designed in a way that these people are supposed to be working for us.
Yeah.
You know, they should be available. You should be able to talk to them. They shouldn't be inaccessible. And you can build relationships with them, not in a way that's in any way threatening or anything like that. Just minister to them.
Yeah.
Tell them you're going to pray for them. And look, if you're going to a church where a pastor wants that sort of role, we have the Church Ambassador Network here in Montana now with our director, Keith Downey. he's doing a fantastic job. And that's the vision for the Church Ambassador Network, is that we're going to have hundreds of pastors throughout the state developing relationships with elected officials so that they can be shepherds to our government, and that government will have that ministry available to them.
Yeah.
And what a cool thing. I'm so excited to see what Keith is doing with that program. And he's just got such an amazing heart for it.
Yeah. And you know, at the beginning you were mentioning that we're going to be doing some lobbying up at the legislative session. And, you know, for those folks that don't know, there is kind of a filing fee that goes into being a kind of official lobbyist for an organization to represent an organization. But I will say, aside from that filing fee, there is no difference between the lobbyists up at the Capitol and the people that care about an issue at home. I value greatly the citizen lobbyist. I mean, the person that is willing to go up to the Capitol or go to their city council and speak their mind, you know, with love, from an informed position. And that's going to do wonders to help build relationship with elected officials, especially people that, are, you know, more aligned with your vision. If you go to the, I mean, I can tell you just as a quick example, my daughter, as she was getting ready to enter kindergarten, I was very nervous that our school district was going to be forcing her to wear a mask. And so I had attended school board meetings for an entire year leading up to her going into kindergarten. And I mean, well, about that time. And I was commenting on all kinds of things. I was amazed by how many parents were not actually there, how little public participation there was. And even the people that, you know, kind of express disagreement with my positions on like masking, for instance, or some of the COVID stuff, they appreciated my insight on other things. Yeah. And that helped to build a relationship, because I think more times than not, they simply want people to pay attention to what's going on, what they're doing.
Right.
And they like input, you know, especially if it's people coming from a place where they're trying to help and not just try to prove that they're right.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you're absolutely right about the value of the citizen lobbyist. You know, time and again, you'll have a line of professional lobbyists who, you know, line up for a bill and they give their testimony and it's polished and practiced and they sit down. And then at the end of the line, here comes the citizen lobbyist who tells a legitimate story about how this bill is going to impact their lives. And that makes so much more of a difference than the professional lobbyists. And so if you think for a second that your voice doesn't matter, I just really encourage you to come to the Capitol or testify remotely on a bill of importance to you. You can make a difference and your voice does matter.
Yeah. And that's not something that Derek's just saying, you know, to folks listening to just try to help you feel better. That is the truth. There is a reason why there are so many organizations that work very diligently to have grassroots capabilities, because they want genuine participation from the people in the community. Because elected officials value it so much. That is the truth. When someone comes with a hard-hitting story, that can sometimes win a vote.
Right.
And I've seen it. I've seen that. I know you've probably seen that too.
Time and again.
Yeah.
So,
you know, as an aside for that, the Montana Family Foundation, we want to equip people in the field at home to feel confident in their ability to share their testimony, share their stories. So we, as we get closer to the legislative session, are going to have a series of trainings that we'll be calling, you know, something like a legislative training. We'll have probably an in-person opportunity in Helena, give you an opportunity to come up to the Capitol, take a tour, and then we'll also have hopefully several online opportunities and maybe even several others in person around the state. We'll kind of see what time permits us.
That's right.
But we want to equip you. We want to give you all the knowledge and, you know, tips and tools that we know so that you can feel confident as well to go out there and carry your message forth.
And that brings us to tip number 10. tip number 10, and perhaps the most important, is never lose sight and never lose trust in God's sovereignty. You know, it doesn't matter who your elected representative is, who the governor is, who the president is. At the end of the day, God is in control. And knowing that gives me, and I know it gives you, a lot of confidence in the work that we do, because we know that at the end of the day, we are there lobbying and talking about these policy issues because we're fighting for the advancement of God's kingdom. And you know, we trust in God's sovereignty in these processes, that he's in control at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, that place of surrender is important, and it's freeing, I think, in many ways, because after you get to that, you know, tip 9, you're like, oh man, there's so many things I have to do and be good at and understand and know. And at the end of the day, we have victory in Christ already. He's already won. We're just kind of waiting to see it in some ways, the already, but not yet.
Right.
As our good friend, Dr. Heiser likes to say.
Yeah.
That's where we have to rest, in that place that God's in control. We absolutely need to do everything we can to, you know, stand for truth. But that, you know, where we fail or where others fail, God's got this.
Right. Well, folks, I hope that you've enjoyed the kind of the top 10 tips that we could come up with for, you know, how to engage in political discourse, how to get involved on a policy issue. You know, for more resources, feel free to visit our website, montanafamily.org. You know, thank you for listening to our podcast. It's certainly a joy to talk with Patrick every week and bring our listeners fresh content, keep you updated on what's going on around the state. We will continue to keep you informed on the progress of the constitutional amendment as it twists and weaves its way through the process. We'll keep you informed on initiatives of the Montana Family Foundation, like our Church Ambassador Network, like the Family Leaders Program. We're doing so much. God is on the move here in Montana. Patrick, I'll give you the last word. What's on your mind?
I think just a pitch. I'll be in Billings tomorrow for our Family Leaders Community Meeting at Hope Nazarene Church on 25 Hilltop Road. If you listen to this podcast on time, then this is your own personal invitation, especially if you're in the Billings area, to come on down and check it out. I will have some coffee and treats there, and this is going to be a solid group of folks who want to kind of, you know, get in fellowship, strengthen their faith together, and find ways that we can make a difference, a real difference, in the community of Billings, in the state of Montana. And these are going on around the state. They're going to start happening frequently as we get these communities off the ground. So if you're interested in getting involved, getting plugged in, the Family Leaders Program is what you're looking for. Shoot me an email, Patrick, P-A-T-R-I-C-K, @montanafamily.org. That's my pitch.
Excellent. Well, join Patrick tomorrow in Billings. And if you happen to be up early listening to the radio, I'm also going to be on the Aaron Flint radio show tomorrow to talk more about the constitutional amendment. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in to the Family Matters podcast. Thank you for your support of the Montana Family Foundation. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your generous financial giving. We just so appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless.